News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN Phil Williams Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, listen, I got to tell you, Alabama Pecan Company, you may think that you've gotten everything done, all right? You may think that it is too late for Christmas gifts. It may not be. I'm just telling you, you can go to their website, Alabama Pecan Company, take a look at the baskets they've got ready, take a look at the fact that you can do custom gift baskets. You may get something in the mail and on someone's desk or under their tree at just the right time, but don't consider that to be like a done deal, all right? If people are out all this next week from work and they come back to a gift basket on their desk, aha, 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 I've given you an idea now, haven't I? But the other idea is this. How about just thanking them for a great year? Happy New Year. Here's something for you. Alabama Pecan Company. They've got so many options. Just check out their website, Alabama Pecan Co. That's alabamapecanco.com. They can square you away with custom and or ready-made gift baskets with all their stuff. Alabama Pecan Company. I think you ought to check it out. All right, listen, I'm going to finish up that segment on school choice. We're going to move into the next segment. I tell you what, if I run a little long, I may finish more after this next break. But what I'm saying is this, school choice, there is no reason in the world why Alabama can't do more in the realm of school choice. When you've got states like West Virginia passing a full-on open enrollment act where you can go to any public school you want to, your tax dollars follow you to whatever school your parents or guardian decides is right, why can't Alabama do it? I'll tell you why they can't do it, because too many of our legislators are scared to death of what the teachers union might say to them. Oh, no, don't say mean things. It's an election year. I don't want to make teachers mad. Well, I got news. Down in Florida, teachers already get it. It's a bipartisan issue. They have increased it to $600 million on their Accountability Act-style bill. You know why? Because Democrats and Republicans have seen the value, and they recognize that changing kids' lives, like the 3,000 lives that are being changed by kids for kids right here in this state right now, is far more important than a political whim. And here's a poll for you. I pulled this off the website for American Federation for Children. A poll was done nationwide. More than 1,700 registered voters, a majority of them, 74%, support school choice. That's a bipartisan majority. And by the way, when you look at it, the interesting thing is Black respondents had a 73% positive for school choice measures, white respondents 66. What's happening is in some of the underserved demographics, in places where there are poor inner city schools, in areas where there's a heavy urban environment or a Black demographic, they are far more inclined to want school choice because they want an option. And their zip code is all they've got right now. This poll says it right here for me. These results, according to this poll, are a marked increase, folks, in the support for school choice. And literally, when you look at it inside, that you see that 74% of all, you can't get anything to say 74% in a poll. Nothing. If I was to ask the question, do you love your mama, I probably wouldn't get 74%. But 74% of those polled, bipartisan, across all racial demographics, believe in the idea of school choice. What it means is your parents, your legal guardians, they're the ones who have a say. Those tax dollars, they're not there for the system. They're there for the kids. We have got to do better. We are number 50 in the nation, and there is no reason in the world for us to continue doing what we've been doing and expecting a different result. That's called crazy. I'm tired of crazy. I want to see better stuff for our kids. I want to see us get out of 50. I want to see us move up. I want to see our kids thrive. I think school choice is one of the things that has to happen. I was proud to be a part of that fight when I was in the legislature, and I'll fight it now as a radio guy. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Short break there, but we'll be right back after this. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, before I go to the next segment here, because I'm hitting the next part of the Triple Dipper, we've already done two. We're breezing through this one. Mandate Madness was number one. Choosing Choice, School Choice, was number two. I'm moving now into Recklessness and Fecklessness, and I'm going to talk about some things that are craziness and things that are happening in the world of politics with some of our political figures. But let me just stop first and tell you, etaxbreaks.com. Etaxbreaks.com. You're at the year end right now, right? You're at the year end. You're thinking, oh, Lord, year end taxes. I got to figure out, where am I? Am I good? I don't know. Do I have tax credits? Oh, what have I got? Well, there's things out there you may not know you already qualify for. So etaxbreaks.com exists for the sole purpose of finding their clients' money. And when I say that, I mean it. They do it. Like, here's the deal. Where you placed your business geographically, who you hired, did you keep it open during a pandemic? Well, my friends at eTaxBreaks, I know them all personally. They've got 23 years of experience doing this. They literally comb through over 3,000 programs around the nation, and they see if you qualify for tax credits, tax incentives, refunds, grants. It's crazy, man. They literally found over $7 million for their clients in July alone, and they only get paid if they find you money. So it's no harm, no foul. You can go to their website. They got a special website just for our Right Side listeners. etaxbreaks.com/rightside. etaxbreaks.com/rightside. You check it out, and they may get the joy of calling you and saying, hey, found you some money, because that's what they do. All right, so listen, I'm moving to number three on the Triple Dipper, recklessness and fecklessness. What does that mean, Phil? Why would you title it that? Recklessness and fecklessness. Well, recklessness means acting with complete disregard or reckless abandon, with the complete disregard for whether or not harm could be caused by your actions. I believe that was a somewhat paraphrased legal response to the word recklessness. Then there's fecklessness. It's like, okay, that was lame. Big L on the forehead. Loser. That was like, what just happened there? I mean, what? That was feckless. All right, so recklessness and fecklessness combined. I got different things here. I mean, I'm looking at stories and I kept seeing things. Like, for instance, I'm looking at one right now. This was it's a report on Fox about CNN, but it's kind of weird, Fox reporting on CNN. But CNN reporter literally knocks Biden on his interviews about COVID tests and said that Biden just seemed confused the whole time. So CNN reporter Jeff Zeleny was literally, and by the way, you think about it, when's the last time you saw CNN knocking Joe Biden, right? So that's why it's reportable, I guess. I guess that's why Fox decided to report on this, because the very idea that CNN would say something controversial about Biden, a Democrat, is like, wow, that's big doings. So CNN correspondent Jeff Zeleny knocked President Biden as confused about his COVID-19 test on Wednesday. So apparently what happened was, in this feckless interview, ABC's, okay, God, it was, okay, so CNN was reporting about ABC, and now CNN's being reported on by Fox. So this is like a cascading level of reporting. So in the interview with ABC's David Muir, Biden repeatedly misspoke by referencing the at-home coronavirus tests that his administration is allegedly going to distribute. He kept calling them pills instead of tests. The at-home pills you're going to take. And then he would get confused and he would have to correct himself. And he did it over and over again, apparently. I didn't see the interview. I'm just reading the article. An ABC interview reported on by CNN, now reported on by Fox, about what CNN said about the ABC interview. That's crazy. So, folks, I mean, this happens a lot. And I don't want to try and diagnose President Biden from afar, but I'll just tell you, he does not inspire confidence. And that was a part of my opening monologue. He does not inspire confidence. And someone has got to be allowed the opportunity to ask the question about, why does he get confused so often? Why does he lose his place so often? Why does he forget his words so often? Why is it he'll say things in his speeches and then it makes no sense, and then his staff have to turn around and correct it the next day? All right, enough said on that. Continue with the level of fecklessness. So here's the deal. Another story on Fox. A New York Times columnist has implored Biden not to run for re-election. A New York Times columnist. By the way, this is one of those guys, I believe, his name is Brett Stevens, and I believe he is an anti-Trump Republican. Those do exist, apparently. He's an anti-Trump Republican. In a piece that he headlined in the New York Times called Biden Should Not Run Again and He Should Say That He Won't, Stevens, who is described as a conservative but yet a strong critic of Donald Trump, in other words, there's his bona fides. He's not just a Trump guy. He's not all for Trump. No, he's a Republican, apparently, or at least he says he is, but he's apparently not necessarily all in for, you know, the top of the ticket guy on the Republican side. Anyway, he argued that Biden's age, as well as what he called his seemingly uneven cognitive state, need to be candidly discussed. He said, because it wasn't healthy for him or his office or the Democrat Party or the country to remain in limbo about whether he's going to run again. So what he's claiming in the New York Times that Biden is already a lame duck. That's what he's saying. And that, you know, that the way he acts and the fact that he is what this man calls alarmingly incoherent, that it should be fair game. In fact, he does say right here, and I remember this, by the way, I remember Ronald Reagan being president. I was proud of Ronald Reagan as a president. Still am. I'm sitting right here in the studio. I've got a little bust image of Ronald Reagan on the shelf right above me. I cast my first ever vote in life. I cast my first ever vote for Ronald Reagan. Stevens, in this article in the New York Times, he notes that it was fair game for reporters to question former President Ronald Reagan's age in the 1980s. When he took office at the age of 69. 69 seems pretty spry right now, doesn't it? And he won re-election in his 70s. But that somehow it's become horrible manners to raise those concerns about Biden, who turned 79 last month. You know, and age is not all of it. It's the way he's carrying his age. Now, he sort of looks good for his age, I guess. But then you watch him walk and you realize the man's a robot. And then you watch him try to read and speak and sound like he's got it going on. He just doesn't. So this guy in the New York Times is calling him fecklessly, alarmingly incoherent. All right, so moving on, a piece in The Federalist. The Federalist has pointed out, in terms of being feckless, that President Joe Biden is now considered to be one of the least accessible presidents in modern history. Interesting. Story came out yesterday afternoon that as of December 1st this year, Joe Biden has done just 18 media interviews in the entire year, while Donald Trump at this point in his administration had already done 89. Yeah. Okay, here's a paragraph. This will tell you where the guy's position is. Just so you know, he apparently predisposed against Joe Biden, but the facts are what they are. He says here, quote, it was so good I had to just read the thing to you. One of the most infuriating parts of Joe Biden's presidency, aside from his stupefyingly disastrous policies of open borders, unscientific, tyrannical COVID vaccine mandates, energy job killing executive orders, socialist inflationary spending, and a disgraceful exit from Afghanistan, is the mere fact that he's the least successful president in modern history. There's a paragraph. He points out that the only places that Biden seems to travel to are his homes in Wilmington or his beach house in Delaware, where he's been at least 25 times as of October this year, where he can remain as invisible as possible. It's almost like I chose the most public office in the world, but I don't want to be public. Well, okay, but you know what? You have to be accessible, and right now he is not considered accessible. On The Five, I like that show. I like the way it's kind of like the Grand Council we have here on this show. I like the way they bounce things off each other and they ping things back and forth. But on The Five, they were just zinging him yesterday, which is not new, by the way. They were just zinging him and pointing out the fact that Americans are just increasingly tired of all these stringent restrictions and vaccine mandates. And they say that Biden is getting eaten alive by his own bureaucracy. Kind of interesting. And like in this case, I think, who was it pointing out on this? It might have been Katie Pavlich on the Five pointing out, Anthony Fauci said that all you need to do, that all of you need to go out and get a test before Christmas. Oh, okay. Everybody get tested before Christmas. It's important you get tested before Christmas, says Fauci. And that caused a flood to the testing sites with healthy people who don't have any symptoms. And then people who do have symptoms have to wait in line for tests and they can't get them. And it creates the crisis of testing that we're in. We have people waiting in some places, literally waiting for hours in line around the block to get a stupid test that they didn't have to have because Fauci says, everybody should get tested before they go off for Christmas if you want to gather. And it says they created the crisis that we're in now and they have no plans to get out of it. Their bureaucracy eating them alive. Who else in this article? President Biden getting eaten alive by the federal bureaucracy involved in the coronavirus pandemic because of the constant stream of big government philosophies being touted. And that's true. Big government tends to create more bureaucracy. It creates that whole red tape thing we talk about. Well, folks, that's where we're at. Reckless and feckless. But that being said, I got a couple other pieces of this that I'll tell you about when we get back from this short break. Copper, go ahead and run us to the break. We'll do that, get it out of the way. When I come back, I got a thing here. I'm switching off of Biden for a minute. Did you hear about the defund the police congresswoman who just got carjacked? Yeah. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We will be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, by the way, I talk about our website quite often. We're about to have a merchandise page, just so you know, you can buy some Right Side swag coming up here pretty soon. But that being said, there's a lot of things on that website you might want to check out. So rightsideradio.org, that's rightsideradio.org, that's the website. And we've got a ton of stuff on there. We got, basically, if you want to see mine or Copper's bios, you want to see things that we've written, because Copper and I both do writing, especially now for 1819 News. Where we're both featured columnists. If you want to download sections of the show in podcast form, you can do that. We've had, oh my gosh, Copper, we hit a new number.
Ooh, are we nearly at 19,000?
No, girl, you keep doing that to me. we hit 18,000 today.
Oh, okay, I thought 18,000 we did yesterday.
Today, no, we were at 17,700 yesterday, I believe. It's 300 more overnight. That's what it was. But yeah, so what do we got, a week left? Golly, if we could get 2,000 in a week, that'd be huge. But anyway, the bottom line, folks, is this. Go to rightsideradio.org. If you like part of the show or you missed part of the show or you want to send somebody you know part of the show, you can download segments of it in podcast form. We have folks, apparently a lot of folks, that do that right now. 18,000 downloads since the show started about 6 months ago. That's a ton. At least to me, it feels like a ton. But that's what it's for. That's why the website exists. And so check it out, rightsideradio.org. Hey, listen, back on number three on the triple dipper here, recklessness and fecklessness, and this one might fall into both categories. So did you hear about the situation with Democrat Congresswoman, what's her name, Scanlon? First name was Scanlon. Forgotten her first name. Anyway, Congresswoman Scanlon. Let's just call her that for right now. So she and another state senator, by the way, in Illinois. So Congresswoman Scanlon is from Pennsylvania's 5th Congressional District, Pennsylvania. That includes part of South Philly. And then a Democrat by the name of, she's a Democrat State Senate Majority Leader, Kimberly Lightford, in Broadview, Illinois. So these two right here. Both of these individuals have been heavy into the whole, you know, police reform and defund police kind of stuff, right? In fact, after the George Floyd death last year, Congresswoman Scanlon tweeted out, "We've seen too many lives taken and communities devastated by police brutality and racial profiling. Action is long overdue." And then she went on to say that House Democrats were fighting for real reform. She's one of 125 co-sponsors of what's known as the Mental Health Justice Act, which aims to take some police officers off the street and replace them with mental health specialists. Okay. All of the bills sponsored, by the way, are Democrats, she being one of them. And she was just carjacked in her own district the other day. Yeah, go figure. There's the irony. So there's the recklessness about the policy, the fecklessness about the manner in which she conducts business. And then, and I'm not, by the way, I'm not gloating over her, you know, going, I mean, it's horrible that she had to go through this. But my point is this. What did you think was going to happen with policies like that? Did you really believe that, oh, it's going to be okay? We'll just have some mental health specialists out there patrolling the streets, making things better. No. And guess what happened? The congresswoman got carjacked. Says Wednesday afternoon, that's yesterday, around 2:45 p.m., Congresswoman Scanlon was carjacked at gunpoint in FDR Park. They took her purse, her keys, stole her car. Now, I do understand. I think they've caught them since then. But she literally is in a city right now where she's calling on the reform of their police department. And since all this has happened, they've had a 13% increase in homicides, 521 in Philly this year. They're at the highest number of killings since 2007. Incidents involving a shooting have also increased by 4.4%, and the number of people who are victims of a shooting has risen by almost 3%. The city of Philadelphia has seen an 80% increase in carjackings in 2021 alone. And there's your recklessness and fecklessness. Oh, by the way, the thing about the Democrat Senate Majority Leader, she and her husband were carjacked in Broadview, Illinois. And you know, both of them needed police action at that point, didn't they? It's a good thing it wasn't mental health specialists responding to their crisis. But it's that kind of thing right now, that recklessness and fecklessness of policies is creating things like, I mean, even though this is not quite the story, I couldn't help it. I was thinking about going and doing some shooting this week, and then I was a little concerned that I might not be able to find ammo. And then one of my friends gave me a gift certificate for Christmas to one of my favorite gun shops, and I'm thinking, I hope they have ammo, because that's the thing. I don't want to buy a new gun right now. I just want more ammo because I don't have much ammo. I'm getting into my stock. Well, I found an article on a website called 1945, and they're talking about the great ammo shortage of 2022 and saying that what we've been seeing in terms of bare store shelves and higher prices is going to continue on. And it appears that what's happening is these policies that I was just telling you about, those policies that are allowing soft on crime, defund the police, reform the efforts of policing in major communities in which crime is rising, are causing people to stockpile ammunition because they're concerned about where this is going. Will there be a riot in my neighborhood? Will my business get caught? Will, you know, get burned? And so more people are buying guns than ever. And when you buy the gun, you buy ammo, duh. And then more people are buying ammo to stockpile. And then the supply chain gaffes that we're seeing right now with the Biden administration, all of those things, all those reckless and feckless policies are coalescing into the fact that you're seeing bare shelves when it comes to buying ammo, and it does not look like it's going to be stopping anytime soon. What do they quote here about the federal ammunition? Yeah, there's one. Yeah, so Federal, which is one of the manufacturers of different calibers of ammunition, they specialize in things like 9mm and 40 Smith & Wesson and 45 ACP. Anyway, NRA is saying that Federal Ammunition has begun offering a subscription service in which you can actually, I may check that out, I did not know that, in which consumers can receive 5 boxes of ammo per month by subscription. Huh. Oh, okay, I'm saving this article. I think I just found my Christmas present. Hey, honey, I need a subscription to this ammo service. That's kind of like, I guess that's like one of these delivery services, you know, that delivers food to your door. Ammo just arrived in the mail. That's cool. Last article I've got for you also came from that website, 1945. Reckless and feckless, folks. Well, you know, one of the things that really struck me is it almost didn't seem to matter whether things had been working. It didn't matter whether things were better in terms of our energy independence. It didn't matter whether gas prices were low and unemployment was low. It didn't matter whether we saw the markets working well, both brick and mortar and online sales at all-time highs. It didn't matter whether the border seemed to be under control by comparison to previous years. It didn't matter. It didn't matter to the Biden administration. What mattered to them was they were Trump policies. Article in 1945 says, it appears that Joe Biden's not Trump strategy is finally dead. said for President Trump, President Biden must have stung a bit. He was elected in large part because he wasn't former President Donald Trump. And now Biden had to invoke him in a speech exhorting Americans to vaccinate. And if you didn't see it, I found it interesting. I know they think it was a bipartisan effort to do, and I get it. Because President Trump, the other day, I saw the interview. He was telling somebody in a speech with Bill O'Reilly, hey, man, I got my booster. You should, too. He didn't say, I'm going to mandate it and take your job away. But the next day, Biden gave his speech, and he pointed out that former President Trump, Trump, had called on people to get the vaccination. In other words, what he finally had to do in trying to get something done in his plans was to invoke the name of Trump to try and encourage people to get it done, because he knows he's not getting it done on his own. Reckless and feckless. All right, folks, enough of that. Coming back here in a minute with the Grand Council. My brethren, Dale Jackson and Jeff Poore, are going to be on the air with each other. We're going to ping ourselves with questions and see how we do. May not always agree, but we always love each other when we're done. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back with one of my favorite segments of the week, the Grand Council.